Good evening and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight I have romance author Margaret Madigan. She comes to us from the Midwest and she writes romance and science fiction for Entangled Publishing, Evernight Publishing, and M&M Publishing. She's an Oregon Ducks fan and a donut and pastry addict, and she adds pretty much any carbs, really. She likes cats, is terrified of balloons. When Margaret is not writing, you'll find her in a college classroom teaching English or working as a literary agent for an amazing agency. And, of course, she's often wrangling her family. You can find out more about Margaret Madigan and her website, which is the link is hyperlinked right there for you, or you can follow her on Facebook and on Twitter. And welcome to The Librarian, Margaret.
Hi.
Hi there. I don't know if that piece of music played, but it looks like it did. I certainly couldn't hear it, so we may have a big blank space. But if not, I'll go back and I'll overtrack it and I will sing. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that.
Okay.
So welcome to the show and happy book birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very excited. I love release days.
Does it get any less exciting, like, after the third or fourth one?
No. I'm always excited. I'm always nervous, but I'm always excited about it. So, yeah, I get less scared, but, you know, following the numbers, I'm following the numbers then.
Right. Well, and there's probably a short, you know, like, from release day to you wait about a week to start to get the feedback, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Sales numbers are good, and now I'm waiting for mm-hmm. reviews.
Biting my nails.
Right. So do you read your reviews? A lot of people don't. I just wonder if you do.
Well, yeah, I probably shouldn't, but if they're like, you know, 3, 4, 5 stars, then I'll read them. If they're under that, they scare me, so I don't.
Yeah, I had one author on one time who said that when she her first book she published, she read every review and she said she mm-hmm. just would cry and, you know, while she's drinking mm-hmm. her bottle of wine and crying about the 1 and 2s and I'm an awful writer, I'll never do this. And she, but, you know, it was far outweighed by her better reviews. So it was like, I just remember she was talking about that and she said her husband was just like, "You've got to stop."
I know. Well, sometimes in the 1 and 2s, you get some really interesting comments that are, you know, they're not reasonable or they're not about
right.
the story. They're like about the cover. If you had nothing to do with the cover and whatever. And so, you know, sometimes it can be really frustrating.
Those are the ones I go on Amazon and say, not helpful, not helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really hard to not respond to them sometimes, too. I know that sometimes authors do. They just can't help themselves. But mm-hmm. then you get sucked into, like, a vortex of back and
Don't
forth.
Don't do that.
So, no, not at all.
Let it roll. Yeah. You kind of have to live off the good stuff. So, but on the other hand, you know, getting the really good review, that's got to be great after mm-hmm. you put your heart and soul into, you know, blood, sweat and tears and the whole bit into writing a book.
Exactly,
I love your
characters so much.
Right. It takes your soul, your brain, it consumes you for months and months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm so excited to share those characters with everybody. And then when they like them as much as I do, it makes me so happy.
That's awesome. So this one is actually Damien, titled mm-hmm. Damien, and it's part of the series, the Cain Brothers series.
Yes, it's the third book in the series. So, and I didn't plan it this way, really, but I'm writing them in order of their age, so from eldest to youngest. And so...
Yeah.
Damien's the third in the group of boys, men, I suppose.
So tell us the titles of the first two.
Hunter is book one, and he's a billionaire, and Xander is book two, and he's a biker, and Damien's book three, and he's a Navy SEAL.
Oh, okay. Whoa. diverse, and I like
know.
That.
Yeah. And then the other three that I have planned are Jackson, and he's a rock star. Colton is an MMA fighter, and Bishop is a shifter.
Oh, so you get to throw in the paranormal there then. I like that. Which you're familiar with anyway, that you actually, there was, you did, what was the one about the fairy, the fae?
Fairy fae. So that one's the one that's published with Evernight. And it's the first book in the Forever Fairy series. And so that one I've already done. It's paranormal, but that's the only paranormal I've done so far. So.
Ooh, so that's going to be fun to kind of step out of your normal, you know, your normal contemporary thing for a second, because you have a little more freedom with when you step out into that realm.
And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I like writing paranormal and sci-fi, is because you can build your own world and you don't have to live by the rules of this world, you know?
Right. And see, I find it fascinating because I write contemporary. I try. I should say I try. because I just think that anyone who can write sci-fi or fantasy that can world build on that level has got to be a freaking genius.
Because you've
got to be really organized or something, because, you're writing your own rules, basically.
That's true. I hadn't thought about it that way. I sort of think about it like, oh, good, I don't have to do like a whole bunch of historical research, and I don't have to, you know, I can just make it up as I go along.
I don't, maybe it's the librarian in me, but I'm like all about, oh, I'll do the research, no problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think about people like, like Tolkien and Martin, make these huge, fantastical worlds and write all these books in it. I'm like, wow. And Dune, they're like, I wrote Dune, I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, how did you keep track? Did you have a big chart on the wall? And
oh, I'm sure they did.
Volumes with index to figure out who's who and what, you know, like, oh my gosh, no. Not in my, I don't mind reading them, but I think people like that are just amazing. So kudos to you for writing that.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to be writing a dragon shifter novella for an anthology that's going to be coming out in August. So actually I just started writing that the other day, so I'm really excited about that one too.
Those are always fun. I like Donna Grant. I've been into her dragon guys. Fun stuff. They're all hot.
Get it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, dragons are usually really hot and really alpha,
really,
right?
Really hot, absolutely. Well, they have to be.
Yeah.
They breathe fire and all.
I know.
So Damien, so tell us just a little bit about him. I mean, okay, so you had this idea for a series for six brothers. They're all brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And I love that they're all so different. Because I've seen different takes on that, you know, where they all come from a rich family and they've got their different little problem. But this is like they all went their own pathways, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And because that's kind of how families are, you know. Everybody goes their own way.
Right, exactly. But I always try to make them, at least some of them, come together at some point in the book. And I don't know why, but I started doing at the end of every story is a wedding, and so they're all together at the wedding, and so they get to interact, and I think that for readers of the series, at least they get to see that they're not all just completely independent of each other.
I like that. So when you sit down and you have the idea for a series, are you the type of person who fleshes it all out in like are you an outliner or
a hybrid of both?
Yeah,
kind of a hybrid. I mean, when I got the idea for this series, I opened a document and I like named all the brothers, and then
you know, made a list of them and just did like a paragraph blurb for each of their stories. So I had an idea of what I wanted to happen. And then as I sit down to write each one of them, then I flesh it out more. So that, you know, but I don't do like detailed outlines of things on the wall. So just enough so that I know what's happening.
Right. Okay. So you know how they're all tied together, but you don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of plan.
Yeah. For full-length books, though, I do, you know, much more detailed plot notes, because it's really hard. Like you said, for like the world-building kind of thing, even for contemporaries, it's way too hard for me to keep track of what's going on and the people and the things and everything. I don't do a more detailed outline for a full-length book because all the Coen brothers are developed.
Right.
A short and easier to manage. So.
Yeah. Well, but even still, you know, you've got them all tied together. So you've got to kind of keep track of who's with who.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Make sure
I've
that.
I've got a chart trying to keep track of the dates and how old they are for the years are going by, the time is going by as the stories go by. And so I'm trying to track of how old is
Kiko
now? After a couple of years. So,
you did chart it out then. So that's okay.
I'm
getting a visual of this.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, because they're having weddings and they're like things are, it's like, spring or summer or winter or whatever, and so I'm trying to figure out where I am in the year in theory. So
that makes perfect sense. So good, because I thought maybe you had all this in your head, and I was thinking, wow, how did she contain all that?
Yeah, no, that wouldn't work.
Well, when did you begin your writing journey? Were you always inclined to write? I mean, as a young person, or were you, is this something that you came across later?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. When I was a teenager, you know, like most teenagers, I wrote angsty poetry and short stories and whatnot. And so I dreamed of being a writer. And when I graduated from high school, I told my dad when I went to college, I want to study creative writing. And he's like, I'm not paying for that. So I didn't study creative writing in college, and it wasn't until I was, I went to college when I was 18 and then dropped out like a year later, like a lot of freshmen do.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just worked for a lot of years and got married and had kids. And then I think I was in my early 30s when I finally went back and finished my degree in English and then got a master's degree. A Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. And that's when I really started writing again. And, you know, decided that I was determined that I was going to, you know, write novels and work at getting them published. So,
I started early,
but I didn't, I didn't really come to fruition until I was older. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people's... history.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you go to college and you fall in love and you quit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You do the parents, you know, the family, the kids, the so-called career, but then you don't really like it and you want to go do what you really want to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate being a cliche, but you know.
But you are writing full time.
No, I actually right now I make the majority of my living as a college instructor. I teach composition and developmental writing. So,
fine.
So, yeah, not really. It's such a challenge.
Yeah, well, and I think just how delicately can I say this? I think today's youth coming into college is so much different than 20 years ago. And I have heard from several professors and college instructors at the community college level that they just don't care.
They don't. They don't care at all. They don't care, and they're not prepared. And so, you know, I keep telling my boss, it's like, they've had 12 years to learn how to write, and they haven't. And you expect me to fix it in 3 months? It's
exactly.
just not going to happen. I mean, I can fix a couple of things, but I can't fix everything in 3 months. So.
Especially if they don't care.
Yeah, exactly. You know, halfway through the semester, they stop coming to class, and, you know, they just don't care. So.
Oh, I just can't even imagine doing that with my parents' money.
I know. Or if you take out student loans, and I mean,
yeah,
then you owe all that money.
Exactly. Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Not my kid. No, my kid's going to go whether she likes it or not, and she better enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, she may not enjoy it, but she'll hopefully be successful, right?
Yeah. No, she's only going to enjoy. My daughter sings, so she's going to be going for a bachelor's in music performance, vocal performance whatever. So
yeah. My
she's only going to
watch.
She's only going to like the classes she gets to go sing in. Because right now, she only likes the classes that she gets to go sing in.
Right. Yes. I can understand that.
And it's hard to get her to understand, well, you got to take all these other classes, too, because you need to be well-rounded. Why?
I know. But I don't want to be. All I care about is singing.
Right. I'm never going to use it. I'm like, I know you're never going to use algebra. I promise you will never, ever use it. I have never used it except to help you with your homework. But you'll see my rants about algebra on Facebook. I'm 40, almost 44. Never use algebra. So whatever.
No, me either. Quadratic equation? No, not even.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't
Parabola?
Have no idea.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, anyway, I digress. So, so writing came to you later, but, it obviously is filling that need for you because you have since then you put out quite a bit. So, when you first started, which was the genre that you chose to start with?
Well, romance. But I wanted to try, you know, I don't know, I can't be satisfied with just one genre or subgenre, so kind of want to, you know, try them all. Why not? you know, I like writing a variety, so that's what I'm doing. but romance was specifically where I started, so, and actually Fairy Fate was the first book I ever wrote, so. I started there in the paranormal romance and moved on from there.
Awesome. Well, were you a big reader of fantasy and sci-fi before you started writing?
I read everything. I've always read just tons and tons of stuff. So, you know, I mean, cereal boxes in the morning when I was eating cereal and the newspaper. I mean, it's like I had to have something in front of me I was reading. So, I read everything.
Yeah. So you didn't have a particular genre that you preferred more?
No. I mean, I didn't read, you know, from the time I started reading as, say, a teenager, I'm not a big nonfiction reader, but fiction, I'll read just about anything. So.
You're brave.
I'm trying to remember what some of the first things that I read were that like made a big impact on me. The Thornbirds and Clan of the Cave Bear. I remember reading both of those and, Centennial. I can't remember some of the other, was there Michener, right?
Michener, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then Louis L'Amour, I read, because my dad, of course, you know, read tons of Westerns. And so those were always in the house. So I read those. And I mean, so like everything. And then, you know, we subscribed to National Geographic and Time Magazine and magazines. And so I was always reading magazines too. So.
And so, when you had children, did they become big readers or?
Oh God, yes. My boys, especially. Good. My oldest is 23 now. And when he was a teenager, I could not keep him in books. I mean, he read everything. And my daughter read a lot, but she didn't read as much as the boys. And my youngest is 17 now, and he reads. He's a fantasy nut. I can't keep him in books either. So yeah,
that's great.
All three of them. Yeah.
That's a wonderful problem to have. Seriously.
Yeah,
daughter.
It's an expensive problem, but.
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get to the point where y'all are reading some of the same things, it becomes a little less
mm-hmm.
expensive and kind of better for
you
because, you need a new book? Let's get one that I'll read after you.
Yeah, I did that with my oldest. He liked thrillers, and so we would often read a lot of the same stuff. The Jason Bourne series of books, I love those books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my favorite series is Stephen King's Dark Tower series. Love those books. So, and he read all of those too. He's read them multiple times too. So,
very cool.
Yeah, sharing books.
Yeah. Stephen King has had a big impact on a lot of people. It's just amazing that one person can just, you know. I've only read one of his books.
Mm-hmm.
It was I can't even remember what it's the one about the apartment. It was a short story. The one about the hotel room.
Oh, okay.
And I was only fascinated after I saw the movie with, I'm drawing a blank today. John Cusack.
I don't know which.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he was stuck in that
hotel
room, and the day was going over and over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't get out. It was very weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I've never. But his writing is just. It's unexplainable how different it is from other people's. But it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
And anybody
I don't like
that
his horror stuff, but sorry.
Yeah, that one was there, but it was just so weird that I had to read it. You know, I was fascinated by it. I was disturbed by it.
And that's why I don't read his horror, because I think it's disturbing, but the Dark Tower series is fantasy. And so that's, you know, it's way different. And although there are disturbing parts to it, but it's not nearly as bad. So,
well, let's face it, life is pretty disturbing anyway. So,
yeah, exactly. Yes,
I would much rather read a book with something disturbing in it than watch the news and see all the really truly disturbing things happening around me.
Yeah, I know, because at least the book, you know, is not real.
Exactly, so. And you know, my imagination can go off and then turn off too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Let's see. You have a backlist of interesting stories. including a couple that border on Western. Tell us a little bit about those.
The Nevada Bounty series?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're historical romance. They're set in 1872 Nevada. They're not like cowboy historical. So the first one is called Gambling on the Outlaw, and it's you know, the heroine is a widow, and she's sort of a disgraced gambler, and the hero is an outlaw, and it's the story of how they come together. And then the second one, so the series follows four women. The first woman is Beth, and she brings them all together, and so the series is one book for each of the women. But you know, right now in the romance market, historicals are not the most popular thing. So,
and that's
don't
just weird because I could read them all. I could read them exclusively if, you know, they kept feeding them to me. But like I said, that might be my librarian wanting to research type of weirdness. Contemporary seems to be the hot button for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that brings us back to the Cain brothers. So, you've managed to cover all the kind of different character bases that are going on. You've got the biker, you've got a billionaire, you've got, you're going to have a MMA fighter, you've got a rock star coming up, Mm-hmm. You've got it. I mean, you've got the whole gamut there. That's pretty great.
Just not on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to hit every fan group. So that's good.
Yeah.
And
yep.
then in who you can't be the seal. I mean, nothing hotter than that. So I'm excited about that one.
He was fun to write.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they
have, you know, it's funny. As a writer, you have a feel for what you think the character is going to be like when you start writing, and then they take on a life of their own and they tell you who they are.
Right.
And they take you in like a completely different direction. And, you know, I assumed he was going to be one thing, and then he kind of went a different direction, but he turned out, I hope he turned out really well. So I was happy with him.
So he surprised you?
He did kind of surprise me. I thought he was going to be all about sex, and he turned out to be sort of about sex, but then he was like super protective, and you know, toward the end he was like beside himself over you know, the heroin, and so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, he has a soft side. Well, they all have a soft side. They just don't want to show.
I know.
It. Yeah.
I know.
You can't have a meal without you can't have a seal without some protective, you know. He shows his true colors there. Because that's what they do.
I know. It's their job. So. Yeah. So it worked out really well.
So you're one of the type of authors that kind of start, you usually start with a character or a set of characters and kind of build from there, or do you, sometimes you start with a plot?
Yeah, it depends on the book, I think. Oftentimes I'll start with characters and then work from there. But sometimes I'll get like a plot idea and think, oh, I can make this work, and then, you know, build from there. So the sci-fi book, it's called Timed Out. It's a space opera. Worked out that way, where I started out with a plot, some plot elements, and then built around that. So.
Okay.
But, you know, it just depends on the story. I'll something differently.
And the, when you first sat down to write your first sex scene, let's just call it a sex scene, love scene, love, you know, was it like, I don't know. Everybody experiences this different. You know, it just comes up naturally in the story, and boom, you flush right through it, and then you go, "Oh wow, I just wrote that." Was it really hard for you, or was it?
It was, because it feels, you know, after you write a couple of them, it feels like it becomes just a matter of writing the aesthetics of it,
right?
And now I've written a lot of them, and really awkward and difficult to write. And then, you know, I've gotten used to it and much better at it, I think, I hope. And then, you know, now it feels like, you know, how many ways are there to have sex? And I'm so tired of trying to come up with new ways to do it, new ways and new places. And so, I started doing at like release parties. I would do, you know, like giveaways where I would ask the people who had come to the party and say, you could be added in a giveaway. Just answer this question. Where's the strangest place you've ever had sex? So I'm like trying to do research to find some really interesting new material.
Well, I guess, you know, I find as a reader too, that sometimes the sex scenes really aren't as important as,
yeah,
maybe I would think as a writer, you would think they would have to be.
Yeah.
It's just the point that they actually get to that point and do it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, because you're reading and they've got all this tension and all these innuendos and things. Finally, like, would you just go behind the door, shut it, and do it? For Christ's sake. And then when they finally do, you're like, oh.
I know. And then again, you know, like I said earlier, when the characters, you know, talk to you and tell you about themselves. You know, when you get to the sex scenes, they tell you about themselves and the sex scenes too. They, you know, they have their sex depending on what kind of person they are. So sometimes they're like really graphic, and sometimes they're really shy, and sometimes, you know, it's
it's interesting to me sometimes how it unfolds.
True. It reveals some intimate details about their personality that you wouldn't know otherwise.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with that part, but yeah. As far as the, you know, the wear and stuff, I mean, that's all exciting and stuff, but
yeah.
I think, with E.L. James and the elevator scene, that was enough to be like, everybody wants to go get on an elevator with a dude now.
I will admit I have not read. I am not familiar with that scene.
Oh wow! Yeah, they didn't follow through or anything, but it was just like, holy crap, you know? Wow. Every time we got into my husband and I watched it, he actually read it. He read the first one, and he said it was terrible writing, but he said it was pretty turned on by it.
Really.
But, every time we'd get in the elevator, he'd put his arms up and pin me up and just be like, Christine, stop. But it was really just a nice thought. So,
Well, I think every author, every romance author at some point writes at least the beginning of the elevator.
Yeah,
I mean, I had one in Xander, so, I've done my elevator thing.
Well, I'm still waiting for somebody to write a really good train one because that's like my fantasy. So somebody write a good train one and we're on.
Okay.
That'll be my favorite
All right.
book.
Yeah.
On a long train ride.
Yeah. Although, have you ever ridden a train, like Amtrak or something?
No,
on a long train.
Oh,
I haven't. I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to imagine where, what do we do with that? Where you wouldn't like get caught.
Well, you got a private car, right? You can pay a fortune for a private car.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. You see that.
And then they have some like that are shared, right? I mean, they don't have to be the sleeper one. Yeah.
So.
I don't know why. It's just a train. It's just, I think of Europe.
Yeah.
Like it's very romantic or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That'd be kind of fun.
Anyway, I put it out there, world. It's out there. If you write the train.
Yeah.
I'm there. Okay.
I'm going to have to figure out how to do that now. Work it into one of these stories.
Yeah.
The second one of the Westerns, they spent a chunk of time on the train, but train robbery and stuff, so that's probably not a good time to do that.
Although, that could be really crazy. Although, did you see the video of the couple at the bar? Recently, they were at a bar making out at the bar, and they came and robbed the bar and right in front of them and left, and they didn't even realize that they'd been robbed right next to them at gunpoint. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's
been really
so,
good.
Yeah, it could have happened.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway, we have about 25 minutes left. I want to put the number out. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-633-9609. You can call in to talk to Margaret on the librarian. Okay. So let's talk about some of your influencers. Who would you say that you was the bigger influences on your work?
That's a hard question. I don't know if I have an answer for it. I read Deborah Cook's Dragon series, and I can't remember what the name of the series is. Dragonfire series. I read that. I can't remember if I read those before or after I started writing, but they're really good. Dragon shifter, paranormal type romances, and they got my imagination going. Otherwise, I think I would say that just, the legacy of reading all through my life, that kind of creativity and use of imagination kind of was a foundation for my desire to write. So
what do you think about the... the MFA versus no MFA in becoming a writer?
I think that there are lots of MFA programs anymore, and some of them are good, and some of them, you know, maybe not as good. I don't know. I think it's a good place to start and to learn, and especially if they do a lot of reading and analysis of literature.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that when you come out of an MMA that you're, I mean, an
MMA. Yeah, okay. Yes, you're thinking of the fighters already.
I've got fighters on the brain currently. I don't think that you're necessarily automatically prepared, you know, to write a bestseller or even to write a book that'll sell.
Uh-huh.
You know, writing is a craft that takes a long time to perfect, and I don't think anybody's ever perfect at it. It takes a long time to learn and do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to learn it and do it well in a 2-year MFA. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing anyway.
Right. Well, and I think that even writers who have been writing for 20 years or more are still learning. I think that it's a craft that is always growing. I mean, if once you start, you just keep growing. So, I've always considered doing the MFA, but I didn't marry a sugar daddy.
I wish I didn't.
I married for love, not money. It's okay. I love him to death.
I know. When you're 20-something, you don't know. You know?
Yeah, right.
You don't think I have to be able
to. Yeah. I can't really say that. I was 41 when I married this one, but I've known him.
Oh, really?
I've known him since I was 15. So.
Oh, well, see. I mean...
I was still that dumb 15-year-old, but I love him to death. I do. It's great.
There you go.
He's very inspiring for writing romance. So someday.
Yeah.
So you you also, I'd say from your bio that you also work as in an agency. So do you get to read a lot of other people's work?
I do. I work at a literary agency under my real name. Margaret Madigan is my pen name. And so I, you know, get to read lots of wonderful manuscripts and lots of not so wonderful manuscripts. And, you know, I have a lot of great clients that I love, and I love their work, and I look forward to reading the next they're going to write. So I'm surrounded by stories all the time, which I love.
Yeah. You're completely immersed. I mean, with the comp classes and all that too. So, wow. Well,
the
I mean, that
is not fun. That's work.
I know. I feel for you. I mean, I was a young adult librarian and just dealing with those the kids that came in. I dealt with a lot of the college students too coming in to get help for their papers, and it was just like,
Yeah.
they want you to hold their hand and do it for them, you know.
I know. Yeah.
Wake up, people.
I know.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I've got 2 weeks left in the semester. Well, 1 week now and tomorrow and 1 week. And so we've got, like, all of the rough drafts coming in for the last essay. And so I'm reading all of those and trying to keep my patience and not working very well, but
that becomes one of those things where you you have to find the best wine possible to sit down and read those.
The essays get better the more wine you drink.
So do the grades. There you go.
Yes. I know.
Tell them you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. It's almost over. And then do you still teach in the summer, or do you take the summer off?
I just teach one online class over the summer, and then I have the 3 months off, which is like an amazing, wonderful treat. So,
well, good. Maybe you'll get some you time, some writing time for you.
Yeah. I'll be writing and agenting full time over the summer. I've got a huge list of books I have to get done. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What's a piece of advice that you can tell somebody who is trying to submit to agents? What's one thing that just comes across as, oh no, don't do that?
Make sure that you research the agency website for every agent that you wish to submit to and follow their guidelines. don't just assume anything. that'll get your foot in the door long enough to get your submission read. A lot of agents, if you don't follow the guidelines, they just delete it. So,
wow.
Follow the rules and at least you'll get read.
When you went through that process back when you were starting, what was something that somebody maybe told you, like a piece of advice?
Pretty much the same thing. It's like, follow the rules and then you'll get attention, you don't want to get attention for the wrong reasons, for not following the rule, for, writing a really bad query or whatever.
Well, I can imagine that with the amount of submissions that agents get and publishers too, that you've got to, weed through the ones who can't follow the directions because you've got to get to something eventually.
I mean, we get hundreds of submissions, hundreds of them. And so we're only human and it's really difficult to, read all of that. And so, you look at them and say, well, this is not what I represent, or this is, not submitted correctly or whatever. You didn't include all the things that we asked for. And so we got to find some ways to weed it out.
Sounds
awful to look at it that way. I know. So follow the directions.
No, see, this starts back in college.
I know.
You are not entitled. Follow the directions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Come to class. Do your work. Sure.
Yeah, those rules are there for a reason.
No kidding. And they apply to everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't even get me started on these. I mean, who cares about the presidential election? We need to talk about entitled youth.
Like, I know.
Thinking they own the world and come on, do your work. And I don't know where they're getting it because my daughter even does it sometimes, and I know she gets that from me. So
I know.
It's one of those. Where are you getting this? Because I want to smack whoever told you that.
I know. Yes, I agree.
But it kind of makes me think that maybe there won't be writers in the future because you really have to work.
Yeah.
To be a writer, you can't take somebody else's stuff. You can't let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and do it yourself and work very hard and deal with a lot of crap to be a writer. So it makes me kind of scared. I don't know. I hope everybody lives forever and never.
I know.
Have more books.
Well, I think there are still, I still see a lot of really, I see lots of queries. So obviously lots of people still want to write, much of it is not well done, but there are lots of people who are motivated to do it. There's still hope, although the publishing industry is shifting a lot away from what it used to be to, I don't know what it will be in the future, but
who knows?
So it's changing and there's a lot of growing pains with it, but, there will always be storytelling, I think, depending on, it just will depend on what the form it takes, but.
I think it's really great that you are able to have some kind of insight information about what's trending, what's popular and all that, because I'm sure that really helps you in your writing too. It gives you kind of a better plan of attack. You're not writing things that are just completely insignificant to what people want in the world.
That's why, I am about halfway through the third of the Western series, but I've put that aside because those things are not selling right now, and I'm trying to work on things that are hopefully selling. I went to the RT conference a couple of weeks ago now, and you know, one of the reasons that I go is as an agent, I get to meet a lot of the editors and sit down with them and pick their brains and say, you know, what are you looking for now? And so that is helpful in selling my clients, but also, you know, I pack it away in the back of my brain and think, okay, I can use that later as my author self also.
Correct. Your alternate identity.
Yeah.
And that's gotta be fun too, having the alternate identity. So, which I totally, I mean, we all want to have an, you know, we want to all have a secret identity. So you're kind of like a superhero.
Yeah.
And so today is International Superhero Day. You're a superhero, see?
Yay. I don't know that I have any really relevant powers, but, you know, it's fun to pretend anyway.
Oh, wow. So what you've got... you've got three more planned in the Kane Brothers series. And how many more are going to be in the Western, the Nevada Bounty?
There should be two more in that series. So I've done Beth and Lydia, and then I'm going to do Daisy and Nellie for the last two.
And then
assuming
you have a
historical.
Yeah, pick back up.
Sells again. Yeah.
And you've got others. You said you were writing a dragon shifter for an anthology. And what else is on the horizon for you?
I've got a series of fairy tale retellings that are set in, and you're going to laugh, but they're set in the zombie apocalypse. And
no,
they're
great.
They're romances. That are retellings of fairy tales, and they're set in the zombie apocalypse. And the first one is called Hero for Hire, and it will be we'll be releasing that in June. That one I've actually co-authored with a friend of mine, Marissa McCain. We wrote the Making It Right, the MMA book together. And then the second one of that one is planned for September. So the first one, Hero for Hire, is a retelling of Snow White. And then in September, we'll probably be releasing the second one, which is called In the Hood. And that one is a retelling of Robin Hood.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, and
I
then I'm going to be, I know they're fun.
They are.
And then I'm going to be in probably June or July, I'm going to start on Wattpad. I'm going to start releasing in installments, the sort of a prequel to the space opera, and then I will in the fall release the space opera itself. But so the prequel is going to be sort of a space opera caper kind of thing, you know, in installments on Wattpad, and then later in the fall I'll release the book.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm excited. And then of course I've got the rest. I know, it's so fun. They're so fun. And then, of course, I've got in July will be Jackson, the Kane brothers, and then in October will be Colton. So I've got a truckload of stuff
going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're way busy.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
And we certainly look forward to all of that. We have about 9 minutes left. But I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can find you. All your books are available where?
On Amazon. If you just search my name on Amazon and look at my author page, all of them will be listed there. So you can pick and choose what you want.
And you have links for all of that on your website as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. If I'm wrong. I do.
And that is booksbymadiganandmccain.com.
It is.
Okay. Make sure I had it right. I was like, I know you said it to me. I've got it here. The hyperlink's right here on the page where, if you're listening to the show, the hyperlink's right there too. And I know you were planning, you did a party on Facebook earlier today.
I did. I did a release party for Damien earlier today. And for anybody who was paying attention during that party, I'm doing a giveaway. You will get your choice of my published books signed. If, you know, you can be entered in that giveaway if you go back to the party page and find the giveaway, which is pinned at the top right now, and enter the secret word, which I'm going to tell you right now, is cupcake. So if you go back to the party page and enter that under the giveaway, then you'll be, you know, you'll be entered in it. And then tomorrow I will draw the winner.
Okay. Secret word cupcake. You heard it right here.
Yeah.
Go back and enter, people. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I am so excited for you and your book birthday and
the things you
have planned. You're a very busy woman,
yeah,
and you're very versatile, which is really, you know, it's different. I have to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of romance authors, so it's very different because, you know, most people get in romance and that's where they sell and that's where they find their fan base and they say, but you're brave and you step out of it. And I love it. I think it's great. So, yay.
Yay.
And good luck.
Thank you.
On your summer off, it sounds like you're going to be busier than you are in school year. But
yeah, I know. But it's doing stuff I want to do. So
that
I'm excited
about
doing,
better.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I understand completely. I do, I promise. Kind of like, I got to make dinner, or, oh, look, I want to make dinner. No, there's no one wants to make dinner.
I know. I have to be reminded that, you know, there are other people in the house and they want to spend time with me. And
well, maybe you can find time for that too this summer.
Yeah, I hope so. My husband's not very patient when I decide not to spend time with him.
Writing. Well, it makes,
they're
so
demanding. They want your time. I don't get it.
You want your time and your attention and everything, like children.
I know. I know.
Well, best of luck to you, and we
Thank
hope to
you.
Have you on again in the future.
Yeah, that would be great. I've had a good time.
Yeah, thanks so much. And again, you can listen to the recorded interview at. It will turn into a podcast in about 5 minutes after we in this episode, right here at the same link. So make sure that you can share that with all your listeners and all your readers. You don't have listeners. All my listeners. All your readers
all your family and friends.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm winding down here. And again, best of luck, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And again, everybody, you can find more at her website, which is the link right here. And you can follow her on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for being on. And thanks, everybody, for listening in tonight. You can find me on Facebook as The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter as HOT_librarian_. And I think I'm somewhere out there on Google+, but honestly, I don't pay much attention to it. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website on SoundCloud and iTunes. Authors on the Air Global Radio Network can be found online at authorsontheair.com. You can also find them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and probably anywhere else you can think of in the social media universe. Thanks to Authors on the Air for this opportunity to share my passion for romance and sharing the hottest authors and young adult, new adult, and adult romance and erotica with you. And thanks to my husband for keeping the boy in the other room quiet while I can do the show. Big bitches to you. And this is your host, Tabitha Pope, saying see you at 9 p.m. Eastern next Thursday right here on The Librarian. And you guys have sweet dreams.